Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Yosef Ben Avraham, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harab Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I have three things that I want to speak about. I want to speak about the elections. I want to speak a little bit more about what happened with our Facebook site. Our Hebrew Facebook site that was taken down in August, some more news on that front. And I want to speak about our great new site and what can be done to help with our great new site that's been up for about a week already, Baruch Hashem. But first, let's start off by speaking about our Hebrew Facebook page that was taken down in August. As you know, we invested thousands of dollars in a major campaign, a major advertising campaign, in order to promote the Hebrew Facebook page. For us, it was a major campaign. Compared to other organizations, it would be nothing because our budget is very meager compared to that of other organizations. But we invested money and time and effort. And in 3 months, we got over 27,000 Israelis to join our Hebrew Facebook page. Over 27,000 Israelis in a country of only 6 million Jews joined our Hebrew Facebook page in just 3 months, which is a remarkable figure and really shows how our message does resonate with many Israeli Jews, if we're just given a little exposure. Anyway, the Jew haters at Facebook, of course, took down our page, as is well known. And they have their anti-Semitic policies there, the self-hating Jews that run Facebook. Of course, the owner is a self-hating Jew who is intermarried. And that whole evil site is just committed to hatred of Israel and the Jewish people. Well, I have some good news as far as the money that is concerned, as far as the money that we invested there. As I mentioned on last week's program, we challenged with our credit card company the payments that we made to Facebook. And now final decisions have been made on all of our payments. There were 15 different payments that we made. I'm not going to give you the exact amounts because I don't want our enemies to know exactly what we're doing. But we made 15 different payments. And the credit card company has made final rulings on all 15 payments. It's over. 89% of our money has been returned to us. 89% of the money that we spent on our Facebook advertising campaign was returned to us. Baruch Hashem, thank God. That is a nes. That's a miracle. In Hebrew, the word for miracle is nes. That is a true nes. That Hashem enabled us to go against this powerful, gigantic company, Facebook, and to convince the credit card company to rule in our favor as far as 89% of the money is concerned. Now, that, of course, means that 11% of the money that we invested, we lost on that. That they ruled against us for 11% of the money. And, of course, that's an injustice. We shouldn't have to pay anything. In fact, Facebook should have to pay us for the crime they committed in viciously censoring us because they're a bunch of filthy, stinking Jew haters. And because the Jews there are Judenrat kapos, yimach shmam bezichram, shem reshaim yerkav, may their names and memories be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. But in any event, it's still a miracle. I didn't think we'd get any of the money back. I thought they'd rule in favor because usually these credit card companies, they're also a bunch of crooks. Usually these credit card companies rule in favor of the big companies. And so this is a miracle that we got 89% of our money back from our advertising campaign with Facebook. Thank God. What a wonderful miracle that is. And that certainly will help us. That puts some money in reserve for us for when we begin a new advertising campaign. So, just wanted you to know, there were people who were concerned and who said, when we invested the money, well, what if we lose? What if they take us down, even though we're putting the money in? And that was a concern. It was a very legitimate concern that people raised. Just wanted you to know that Baruch Hashem, miraculously, 89% of the money was given back to us. The second subject I want to speak about, of course, is the election. And the results of the election that was held this past Tuesday. The midterm 2014 congressional elections and the gubernatorial elections that were held this past Tuesday. First of all, you know what? When I'm doing that, let me answer the question of Joe Gutfeld, our great JTF or Joe Gutfeld, because he asks about that. So let me just quote him. Joe Gutfeld writes, Shalom Chaim, what is your opinion on the 2014 election results throughout the U.S. this year? Thanks, unquote. So I'm going to be answering Joe Gutfeld and partially at least answering other JTFers who asked this week about the election results. I'm going to be doing that right now with the opening. First of all, as far as the Republican takeover of the Senate, there are two things that might be positive about it. I don't like the Republicans in the Senate. I don't like the Republican politicians. They're phonies. They're liars. They're backstabbers. They don't keep their word. They are part of the Republican establishment. There are some rare exceptions like Ted Cruz, but he really is a very rare exception. So I don't like or trust the Republicans who won. Nevertheless, the Republican takeover of the Senate might be somewhat positive. I don't think it's something that we should be popping, champagne bottles and the, is that the expression? Popping the corks on the champagne bottles and celebrating about. But there may be a couple of positive aspects to it to some degree. With a Republican majority in the Senate, hopefully that will give someone like Ted Cruz a chance to push his agenda, to at least push his agenda and publicize his agenda. His stuff is not going to get passed. But at least he can push his agenda realistically. When you had Harry Reid and the Democrats in charge of the Senate, they blocked Ted Cruz from even introducing his legislation, from it ever coming to a vote. At least now, maybe, some of the wonderful legislation that Ted Cruz proposes will at least come to a vote. And as you know, we're supporting Ted Cruz for president in 2016. Even though the odds are overwhelmingly against him, but still, we're supporting him because we believe that he is the best candidate for the presidency. So hopefully this will give Ted Cruz, now that there's a Republican majority and Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats can block votes, because they were preventing any votes from taking place on hundreds and hundreds of pieces of legislation that Republican senators were proposing, including many pieces of legislation that Ted Cruz was proposing. Hopefully this will now enable someone like Ted Cruz to bring to a vote the wonderful legislation that he has proposed on many different issues. So that's number one. Number two, on the issue of Iran, hopefully this will, to some degree at least, create some problems for the Obama-Clinton Kerry program of enabling Iran to develop nuclear weapons. They want to remove all the sanctions. They're already removing sanctions. They're doing everything they can to help Muslim, Nazi, terrorist Iran develop nuclear bombs. They're doing everything they can to allow them to develop their nuclear bombs. And hopefully a Republican Senate will make it more difficult for them to do the evil things that this evil administration is doing. So hopefully on Iran, this will be a little bit better. Of course, it's nothing compared to what's needed to be, what has to be done on Iran. Israel has to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, and of course, the coward Bibi Netanyahu has no intention of doing that. So that's a very serious problem. And the only other hope we would have, of course, would be in 2016, if Iran doesn't have nuclear bombs by then, God forbid, if a Republican is elected president, if someone like Ted Cruz got into the White House, maybe then we'd finally get action on Iran, because Bibi Netanyahu is a hopeless coward, but I think Ted Cruz would take action. So maybe if someone like Ted Cruz was elected president, which again the odds are overwhelmingly against, but if something like that happened, maybe we would have a shot at preventing Iran from developing nuclear weapons, which will be an unbelievable, unmitigated catastrophe for Israel in the Middle East and a real threat of nuclear war. There's a real threat of that. Real threat of nuclear holocaust, God forbid. So that's a huge issue for us. That's what's really needed. The U.S. or Israel has to militarily destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. but at least until we have a chance to see something like that happen, God willing, hopefully the Republican takeover of the Senate will in some way mitigate the damage that the evil Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton and John Kerry have been doing. And in the case of Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, all the evil things she did to enable Iran to develop nuclear bombs, because she also, by the way, did everything she could to dilute sanctions, to push all the obstacles out of the way of Iran. I mean, it was just incredible how evil and sick and despicable this policy is. So So hopefully Republican Senate will mitigate that danger to some degree. So for those reasons, I would say the Republican takeover of the Senate was probably somewhat positive from our point of view, but nothing to get very excited about. Now, I'm glad that certain terrible candidates lost, Baruch Hashem. For instance, just as one example, the Nazi Jimmy Carter's grandson, Jason Carter, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, was running for governor of Georgia, and the polls showed that he was in a tie, and it looked very close. Baruch Hashem, at the end, the good people of Georgia voted overwhelmingly against Jason Carter, Yimach Shmo, so I think that that's good news. We wouldn't want Jimmy Carter's grandson now to become a major political national figure in the United States. That's all we need. So that was certainly good news. And many homosexual candidates lost, Baruch Hashem. Many open, avowed homosexuals who were running for office, especially Republican homosexuals, were defeated. And that was very good news because there was a real danger here. And the poll showed that they were going to win. You know, I think that this shows that the news media and Hollywood and the establishment all pushing this sodomite agenda all the time. Among the average American, among American voters, I don't think that this is popular. I don't think this is very popular among average Americans. I really think this is a Washington, D.C., Hollywood, New York type of thing that they're trying to impose on the nation. And I really don't think the nation is very comfortable with this. So this gave me hope, at least, that a lot of these open homosexual candidates lost, especially Republican homosexual candidates. I'll give you some examples. Carl DeMaio ran for Congress in San Diego. He was the Republican nominee for Congress in San Diego, and he was defeated. He was expected to win. Or, you know, he had a lead in most of the polls. He was expected to win. He was defeated, Baruch Hashem. Richard Tisay, I don't know if I'm pronouncing Tisay or Tisai, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, and I don't care. He's another Republican homosexual, an open homosexual. Carl DeMaio, by the way, who I described in San Diego, was an open homosexual. Richard Tisay was the Republican nominee for Congress, one of the congressional seats in Massachusetts. He ran against a Democrat in Massachusetts, and he was defeated. He was another open homosexual, and because Massachusetts is so left-wing, there was a real fair there, and according to the polls, there seemed to be a real good chance that he would get elected. He was beaten and beaten badly. So Baruch Hashem, Carl DeMaio in San Diego, Richard Tisay, Richard Tisay, the two Republican candidates in Massachusetts and in San Diego were defeated. A third Republican homosexual ran in the Republican primary for Congress in New Hampshire, and he was considered to have a serious chance. It shows how crazy even many Republicans are. But he was thought to have a serious chance, but he was defeated earlier in the year in the Republican primary in Massachusetts. His name is Dan Innes. So three prominent Republican homosexuals who ran with a lot of money and a lot of support from the Republican establishment, the news media, three prominent Republican homosexuals who ran for Congress, all of them were defeated, thank God. Baruch Hashem. Among the Democrats, the Democratic nominee for governor of Maine, Congressman Michael Michaud. By the way, Congressman Michaud, he was elected to Congress. Then he just announced he was a homosexual earlier this year, and he became the Democrat nominee for governor of Maine. According to the polls, he was also ahead, but he lost. He was defeated in the end. Baruch Hashem. And another real evil, monstrous one, Sean Eldridge, a self-hating Jewish homosexual who hides the fact that he's Jewish, tries to hide the fact that he's Jewish, you know, like John Kerry and Madeleine Albright and all these other people who have some Jewish background who always try to hide it. Sean Eldridge is a self-hating Jew who hides the fact that he's Jewish. He's an open homosexual. He's married, quote-unquote, to Facebook founder Chris Hughes, who is a billionaire. And so Facebook founder Chris Hughes, a billionaire, his quote-unquote husband, gave him $3 million to run television commercials. So, you know, there was a concern that Sean Eldridge would win. He was the Democrat nominee for Congress in New York. He lost overwhelmingly by almost 2-1. Overwhelmingly was defeated, Baruch Hashem. So all of that is good. And again, I think this shows that all of this pro-sodomite propaganda is not so popular after all among the American people. At least let's hope that that's what this indicates, because the homosexuals did not have a good election day. They did not have a good election this year, Baruch Hashem. Unfortunately, one of them did win, Congressman Sean Maloney, who was openly homosexual and who was Bill and Hillary Clinton's press spokesman when they were in the White House. He has very close ties to Bill and Hillary Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton is a lesbian. But Bill and Hillary Clinton campaigned for him and worked very hard for him. And unfortunately, Congressman Sean Maloney, very close, by the skin of his teeth, by 1% of the vote, just a 1% margin, he did get reelected, unfortunately. He's, for those of you in New York, he's the one, there were commercials on TV about him saying Maloney is full of baloney. And he certainly is. But unfortunately, he survived. He survived the election. So he's one of the few that actually made it, that actually survived. Also, bad news, Tom Wolfe, the self-hating intermarried Jewish leftist in Pennsylvania, wealthy, evil intermarried Jewish leftist, was elected governor of Pennsylvania. That's certainly bad news. You know, whenever a Jew is elected to office, when these self-hating Jews are elected to office, it is the worst chilul Hashem. Better to have a Gentile anti-Semite even than to have a self-hating Jew. The self-hating Jew, the Jewish anti-Semite, that's the worst chilul Hashem, that's the worst desecration of God's name, because the Jews are supposed to be representing God's laws and the Bible and the Torah. They're supposed to be representing the truth in this world. And so when they represent evil, it's a terrible, terrible thing, and it's a curse on America, a curse for the Jewish people, a terrible curse. This is why we always oppose all of the self-hating Jewish politicians running. And at least 99% of the Jews that run for office outside of Israel are self-hating Jews. Okay, because the type of people who enter politics to begin with are phonies and are hypocrites and are disgusting people. And then you're not supposed to run outside of Israel for public office. We're supposed to live in the land of Israel. We're not supposed to be running for office and becoming part of the life outside of Israel. We're not supposed to do that to begin with. And these evil Jews that are elected to office outside of Israel in the United States and other countries, they almost always, almost in every case, stab their fellow Jews in the back. Almost in every case. So, we'll see what happens. But overall, the election was a little bit better than I thought it was going to turn out to be. So, Baruch Hashem, for whatever good did come of it. Now, the presidential election begins now. We've got to begin promoting Ted Cruz. The presidential election begins, and we'll do our best also to fight against Hillary Clinton. And that brings me to our new page. We have a great new news. We have two great new news sites that have been up for a week now, thanks to our brilliant and very talented administrator, Shlomo. And I really urge you to get involved with these new news sites. They are great news sites. We have daily updates on these news sites now, daily updates, articles that change, and all types of articles. There are opinion pieces on there, polls are on there. And again, it's updated daily. There are new things on there every single day. And there's real news. This is a real news site. This is the type of site you should turn. This is where you should go every day for the news. The first site you should go for the news every day is our site. Our site should be your first site for the news every single day. If you want to help us, which you should, we need you to do the following things. We need to work as a team here to make this work, because this should be a huge news site. If only people are exposed to this every day and make this their news site, this could really be a tremendous boom for our movement. First of all, go to the site every day for your news. Go to the site. Second, post comments, vote in polls. In other words, become active on the site. Post comments, vote in polls on the site. Every single day, post comments. Look at the articles, post comments on there. Get involved in discussion on the site. The site is getting more and more people coming, more and more traffic, but not enough people are posting comments. People aren't used to it yet. Maybe it's only been there for a week, but let's start posting comments on the site. Let's start having people get involved in the comments section. Make the comments section as active as the news updates. The news updates are very active on the site. Also, join the site. You know, you can become a member of the site. Join the site. It's not, if you're a member of the forum, that does not transfer over to becoming a member of the site. It's two separate, because there are all types of technical reasons why we had to do it this way, but You want to become a member of the site. To become a member of the site, you have to join. And it's, again, it takes a couple of minutes. It's so easy. Join and become a member of the site. You could use the same password if you want and the same username if you want on, that you use on the forum. But join the site. So this way you'll be a member, and that, you know, and that's also good. And most importantly, of course, aside from you coming to the site every day and aside from you posting on the site every day, spread the word. And by the way, our site is very, very well connected as far as Google and the search engines. So when you post or whatever you do on the site, whatever activities on the site, that boosts us on the search engines. Spread the word on the site. Spread the word about the site to everybody you know, so you bring new traffic and other people there. Spread the word on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, everywhere. If there are people that you like to email, if friends, relatives, acquaintances that you know that you think might be interested, tell them about the site. Let them go to the site. Tell them there's a new news site. It's very interesting. Why don't you join? And get them, you know, of course you should join, and then say, you know, I've joined. I think you should join. It's a very interesting site. Get them to get involved in the site. And it's, you know, that it's jtf.org. Our site is at the same, it's the same address we had for the old main page, jtf.org, and the Hebrew one, our Hebrew site, which is also updated daily and is also a great site, is hayamin.org. So if you know any Israeli Jews or anyone who speaks Hebrew, or if you speak Hebrew, hayamin.org. Okay, and of course, last but not least, we need your financial support, because we haven't decided yet how we're going to do this. We've got to spend some time figuring out how we're going to do this exactly. But you know that we're going to promote this site, and so we need your financial support urgently. Now we need to know how much money we're going to have to budget. The more we have, the more people we'll reach. The more people we'll reach with the truth. If we get a lot of people coming to our sites, to Hebrew and English sites every day, we could have a big influence on things. If we got a lot of people, if they became major sites, God willing. And there's no reason why they shouldn't be. They're higher quality than the other news sites. The quality of news and the truth you get on the sites, more importantly, the truth, is much better. It makes them the best news sites on the internet, in my view. So every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to a post office box, it makes a big difference. We need your help. We need your help. So please help us with checks, money orders, cash donations to the post office box. And if there are people who, if that's doing it through the regular mail, of course, other people would prefer to do it online with your credit card. If you want to do it through PayPal with your credit card, then you know that you just go to the donate button on the Hebrew news site. The Hebrew news site, hayamin.org. On top, there's a donate button in English, and in several minutes, you can very easily and conveniently donate with your credit card through PayPal, and you can do that on the Hebrew site. So, help us, get involved with us. If we work together in a team effort here, we can make quite a difference. I think it's very exciting. I think it's a major new addition to our movement. It's something we can all be very proud of as JTFers. Please help us. Please get involved. Let's not be apathetic about this. Let's get involved and let's all work together. It's exciting, and it's, and I really think that it's fun to be involved in this. I mean, I think it is, but that's me. I mean, I think it's exciting to be involved with a new site like this. And all of you are part of this. All of you that comment on it, that become members, that promote it, you're part of this. You're part of our movement. You're part of our family. Let's all work together now. This is the time when we have to work together. Okay, let's go now to questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with the great Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Compare the technology from 20 years ago to now," unquote. Okay, well, there have been tremendous changes in the past 20 years. 20 years ago was 1994, late 1994. That's when internet use was really just beginning. In the mid-1990s, internet use was beginning to become more and more widespread. Al Gore invented the internet, as you know. Al Gore actually said when he was running for president that he invented the internet. When he ran for president in 2000, he said that he invented the internet. I mean, it's just these Democrats, they nominate people who are literally nuts. I mean, who say things that are literally crazy. But anyway, in all seriousness, internet use began in the mid-1990s. I remember the period of time, well, it was very hard. You had to join AOL. things were going wrong. There were a lot of technical problems, and you couldn't get in touch with AOL. AOL is a terrible company. Nobody should have anything to do with them. But people couldn't get in touch with AOL. You would stay on the line for hours just trying to get customer service, and then when you got them, they didn't do anything for you. So it was a very rough time on the internet, but it was exciting because we saw at that time already that this was going to be something big. We all could sense that this was a technology that was changing the way society would operate, and it did, The world was a completely different place before the mid 1990s. 25 years ago, for instance, when we didn't have any internet, the world was a completely different place. Our ability—I couldn't do a show like this. We wouldn't have our forums. We wouldn't have our great new news websites. We didn't have the ability to do videos. So we were relying at that time on television, and that's why I was doing cable television shows, because we had no choice. It was the only thing we could do. But the internet gave us a tremendous new opening, tremendous new chance, and the difference is like day and night. Before we had the internet, it was a whole different world, and you know, there are a lot of things about the internet that are terrible. There's a lot of dirty stuff on the internet that stupid people, well, I shouldn't say stupid people, but people, unfortunately, weak people go to, and that's very bad and very unfortunate. People should not do that. They should not go to dirty sites and sites that tempt them to do things that God does not approve of. You should not do that. And there are many aspects of the internet that destroy people and that hurt people. You have sites like Facebook where kids become addicted to Facebook. All they do is post all day long silly things on Facebook, and all they care about is how they look in their Facebook pictures and how many likes they have. They don't even know the people who are their likes, who are their friends. How many friends they have, they measure their popularity now by their friends on the internet. And you'll have kids now with 2,000, 3,000 friends. They don't even know any of them. But they just go and they say, you make me a friend, I'll make you my friend. And, you know, they don't even know these people, just so that they have more, they up the numbers. And it's really, really, it's destructive. It has a destructive effect. So I think Facebook is a destructive aspect of the internet. And I think there are other destructive aspects. But together with that, the positive side, the upside, is that it gives a group like ours an opportunity to reach people that we wouldn't have been able to reach. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to our great friend Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, comment, real life events. One, Sudanese man was forced to marry goat after raping it and paying owner, unquote. Well, I feel sorry for the goat. The goat obviously is way superior to this Sudanese animal. The Sudanese beast who does this to an innocent animal. But this is the type of disgusting thing. We have, by the way, one of the stories we have, one of our great stories that Shlomo uploaded on our fantastic new news page, is a man who now wants to marry his horse. And you see a picture of him kissing his horse, and he wants to marry his horse. That's the next thing coming. I mean, we're going to have incest is going to be okay, and pedophilia is going to be okay, and bestiality, marrying animals, is going to be okay. This is what's coming. This is what gay marriage and this whole insanity has led to. As far as Muslims and third world people having sex with animals, this is very widespread. I know it's shocking to people, but it's a widespread practice. That's why camels have humps. And Smash Islam now writes, too, Pakistani imam acid attack boy for refusing sex, unquote. Oh, they're so perverted, these Muslims. They're so disgusting and so perverted. It doesn't surprise me. And they're such a hypocritical, evil people, such a cruel and evil and sick society and sick, such a sick culture that they create. Just disgusting. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to our great friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, recently announced to be a homosexual. How should a religious person react to this, unquote? Well, these major multinational corporations are run by evil people. Someone who is engaged in homosexual activity is going against the laws of God and the laws of nature. And God has destroyed entire societies. There are many sins that people can commit, all types of terrible sins you can commit. Homosexuality is one of the worst. And we see that entire empires and nations have just disappeared once they started accepting homosexuality. It's the end of nations. It's the end of societies. It's the end of a culture. Countries just disappear. These great ancient civilizations, very sophisticated ancient civilizations, just disappeared once they accepted this evil. God does not tolerate this. It's an abomination. It's abnormal. And the fact that you have Apple's CEO and other people in the big corporations in America and in the general ruling elite that control Western society, because the multinational corporations, who are the owners of the news media and the owners of Hollywood, they control Western society. These individuals are pushing us to accept something that is very evil. God help us. God help us. Any society that accepts it is doomed to destruction. Thank you, Da Vinci. And we go now to our good friend, Righteous Indian Gentile, who writes, and I quote, "The ISIS crisis, terror takeover of nuclear Pakistan, nuclear Iran, all this gives me sleepless nights. Why aren't world leaders concerned?" Unquote. I agree with you completely, especially the nuclear Iran and nuclear Pakistan issue. I hope the new leader of India deals with it, with Pakistan. Pakistan should not be allowed to have nuclear weapons. India is much stronger, much bigger, much more sophisticated than Pakistan. India's nuclear program and nuclear bombs are vastly superior to what Pakistan has. Pakistan does have nuclear bombs, but India's are vastly superior to Pakistan's. Pakistan has no right to exist. Pakistan should be part of India. Pakistan and Bangladesh should be part of India. The British, the evil British, deliberately separated these places and took this land away from the from India's Hindu majority. All of these areas belong to India. As far as a nuclear Iran, I think people know what our position is. Either the Israeli or American military has to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Thank you, Righteous Indian Gentile. And we go now to the great Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "The official name for Sodomite History Month is LGBT History Month," unquote. Yeah.
LGBTEFGHIJKLMNOP History Month.
Yeah, the name for their history month. How sick. How sick. They're so proud. What are they proud of? I mean, what is there to be proud of? How could you be proud of this? You know, they have pride marches and pride parades, and they're proud of this. What in the world could there possibly be to be proud of? Lewinsky Stinks now writes, one, "I think Shabak tried to kill Yehuda Glick. What percent of Israelis back Shabak?" Unquote. Well, I think Shabak certainly could have saved Yehuda Glick. They knew that there was a hit on him from the Arabs, and they did nothing about it, and they didn't guard him or safeguard him. If he had been a leftist, if he had been a Peace Now guy or a leftist with any danger to his life, you know Shabak would have been guarding him day and night and would have done everything they could to save his life. So there's no question that Rabbi Yehuda Glick, who is a very good Jew and who was nearly killed, who was shot and nearly killed by an Arab terrorist, and who he's trying to restore the rights of Jews to pray on Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount. Rabbi Yehuda Glick was shot because of Shabak in that respect. Absolutely. Absolutely. What percent of Israelis back Shabak? Unfortunately, a very high percentage, because Shabak also claims to be protecting Israelis from Arab terrorism. And there is a wing of Shabak that deals with that to some degree. Overall, Shabak is a negative organization, and they have a special unit, very big part of it, special unit that only goes after the good Jews, that tries to imprison and arrest good Jews. So Shabak is an organization people should not support. A very high percentage of Israelis, unfortunately, do support them. But I would say that there's a substantial number of Israelis that don't like them and that don't support them, especially the Shabak people that go after their fellow Jews. Many Israelis don't like that. So it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag, and we have a lot of education to do. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks. And we go now to the great Mansch, who writes, and I quote, "Media cover-up, explosive Khalifat cancer growth is because it fascinates vast Muslim majority and appeals to their deep yearnings. They're genuinely elated," unquote. Absolutely true. absolutely true. I mean, just look at Israel. Israel's the one country in the Middle East where Arabs actually have, they can vote, they have freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. Not only do they have free, they have more freedom in Israel than the Jews do, because the Jews bend over backwards to let them do everything. Good Jews have no rights in Israel. Good Jews are oppressed in Israel. But these Arab Nazis are allowed to do anything they want in Israel. And what do? When they're given the right to vote for Knesset, for the Israeli Knesset, who do they vote for? The only democracy in the Middle East. That's what all the Jews tell us. Who do the Arabs want? The Arabs who are citizens of Israel and who vote in the elections, who do they vote for? 95% of the Arabs in Israel who get all of these benefits from the Israeli government, who get more benefits than Jews get in the Jewish state. Israel bends over backwards to help them and to assist them and to boost them and to bribe them and try to build them up. 95% of Israel's Arabs vote for the Arab Muslim terrorist parties that are allowed to run in the Knesset. Rabbi Kahana was banned from running, but the Arab terrorist parties are allowed to run. 95% of Israel's Arabs, given the chance to vote, they could vote for all types of parties, even left-wing Jewish parties that support them. No, 95% choose to vote for the Muslim terrorist parties that openly call for the destruction of Israel. And that's just one example. It is so obvious that not only is it not a small minority that supports Islamic terrorism, they always say, oh, it's just a minority. It's a small minority that doesn't support Islamic terrorism. The Islamic world does support Islamic terrorism, and the terrorism of Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the Iranian mullahs, all of this terrorism, that is the true Islam. That is what Muhammad himself did. Thank you, Mensch. And we go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, did Chazal ever discuss the possibility of life existing on another planet? Do Torah laws extend toward extraterrestrial life, or do they apply on other planets? Unquote. That Chazal did discuss that possibility. Chazal believes that probably there is no other life on other planets, that God just created life on Earth, and that the other planets and the other galaxies are all for his glorification, so that we would have the free will to see, look at all he's done for us, and look at the power of God and how limitless is his power. That was why the other planets and the other galaxies were created. And the likelihood is that that's true, but we don't really know. Chazal doesn't say definitively there's no life. They just say that they believe probably that there isn't. Do Torah laws extend? Yeah, Torah laws extend everywhere. Torah laws extend everywhere in the universe. There would be no difference if people did go to the moon, for instance, astronauts. They would be required to observe the Sabbath. How they would do it exactly, and you know, what in terms of time, and what time would it be, and how, I don't know the answer to that. But Torah law extends everywhere. The entire universe was created by God, and when we're giving commandments, it's not only on Earth; it's everywhere in God's creation. We're required to live by those commandments. Thank you, PMN, and we go now to the great paper cut who wrote And I quote, I voted straight Republican ticket today, as usual, just doing my part to turn California red, unquote. A paper cut, I agree with you that in the vast majority of cases, I also voted almost straight Republican, because the Republicans usually are the lesser of the evils. So yes, I would agree with you, the Republicans are less evil than the Democrats, but you know, let's never forget what Rabbi Kahana taught us. The lesser of the evils are still evil. Republicans are also problematic, but I would agree with you that the Democrats are even worse in the vast majority of cases, in 99% of the cases. Thank you, Papercut. And we go now to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, which newly elected officials in the U.S. House and Senate do you believe have the most potential to be major assets for the U.S. and Israel? EB, good question, EB. I don't think there are newly elected officials in the U.S. Senate and Congress who are going to be great friends of Israel or the United States. I think they're mostly Republican establishment types, and you know I can't stand the Republican establishment. Usually when there's a choice between the Republican and the Democrat, I go with the Republican, because the Democrats are usually even worse. But great assets or major assets, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see really major assets. I think that mainly the establishment people got elected, Republican establishment people. Thank you, EB, and I hope I'm wrong. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, comments on election results. That we did already, Dr. Dan, in the opening. Dr. Dan always can read my mind. He knows what I'm going to talk, what I'm going to speak about. Anyone you like who won, I also discussed that, Dr. Dan, in the opening. Give bold predictions about what the new Senate will do and behave in the next 2 years, unquote. I don't think the Senate is going to do anything really impressive. I don't trust them. I don't believe them. I don't think they're going to do anything really impressive. I still believe that our big hope is electing in 2016 a president, a decent president. Ted Cruz is the person we would want. Unfortunately, I still think the odds favor the evil Hillary Clintons. We're going to do everything we can to stop it, but I think the odds are against us. But we're going to try. We're going to try. And with our new news site, who knows? We can turn that new news site hopefully into a major site for the campaign as well, hopefully. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to our great friend, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, how come more Jews worship Martin Luther King than our own civil rights leader, Meir Kahana, unquote. Chicago Jew, it's because most Jews are nuts. We need a national couch. That's what Rabbi Kahana himself used to say. We need a national couch. Most Jews are crazy. They're nuts. That's unfortunate, but true. And we've got to educate. We've got to build a new generation of Jews that will not be insane. We've got to educate as many Jews as we can. Here in America, most of them are a lost cause in most cases. I think most of them intermarried, assimilated, so self-hating, such anti-Semitic, Obama-loving filth. Most of them are probably a lost cause in the United States, but in Israel, I don't think so. In Israel, I think most of them, I think we can win over the majority of them eventually if we have a good campaign of reaching them. So our big hope for the Jewish people is in Israel, although in America and everywhere else where our Jewish brothers and sisters live, we will try our best to reach as many and change as many and save as many as we can. We will always try our best. Thank you, Chicago Jew, and we're obligated to. And we go now to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, why is Bibi's government stable? In the 1990s, there were always no confidence votes all the time. Now only Ben-Gurion has been prime minister longer than Bibi, unquote. Absolutely right. By the way, there is a high chance, a very good chance of elections, though, next year. But I agree with you that there should be more no confidence votes. But who's going to do the no confidence votes? The people in the Knesset, all of them are bad. Except maybe for Moshe Feiglin. Every Knesset member, I believe, is a phony. I think the only one who has an ounce of honesty would be Moshe Feiglin. And I have differences of opinion also with Moshe Feiglin. But he's the one Knesset member that I think is at least honest and really does put the interests of the Jewish people above his own interests when there's a question involved in terms of Jewish survival. So, but I agree with you. Bibi's government should not be stable and should have been brought down a long time ago. Thank you, Binyamin. And we go now to our great friend, Russian Leo 777, who writes, and I quote, what is your opinion of Loretta Lynch as Attorney General nominee, unquote. She is another black affirmative action racist. She's a racist and an anti-Semite. She was the U.S. attorney here in the Eastern District. She went after policemen. So who supposedly were racist, and she spent all her time, her career was built upon, just like Eric Holder, was built upon going after whitey and defending black extremist causes. The person who recommended Loretta Lynch and who really got her nominated was Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton now picks the United States Attorney General under Barack Hussein Ebola, under our wonderful president Barack Hussein Ebola, yamach shmo, attorney generals are picked by Al Sharpton. That's what America has come to. Let's hope we can change it eventually. I want to thank everybody for another program I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, shalom. And again, please, every day, go to our new news site, check it out, comment, join, comment, spread the word, and help us. Until next week, shalom.